in great need of the help of God by and through the Holy Spirit. I venture now to direct your thoughts and attention to the word which is found in Psalm 89, reading verse 19. Psalm 89 and verse 19. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Here, dear friends, is a word of comfort for those who are in need of help. Surely this is at the centre of this verse. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. But there is that which surrounds the verse. There is the setting. And we find in the verses leading up to this word, the psalmist is constrained to come in that 15th verse with an Old Testament beatitude. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. And then the consequence of it, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. And in that sense, I believe that the words of the text that I've read as the text this afternoon, they are for these people, the people that know the joyful sound. And dear friends, we come and go from the house of God. We are so familiar with the way that we worship. We have those patterns that are, for the most part, kept too closely. The former service and so on. But what is it to us, dear friends, to gather in the house of God? What is our chief concern about the worship of God? Do we have that desire to know the joyful sound? It is a joyful sound, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, there must be the solemn warnings, because there is a responsibility before God. And there are those times when the Lord's servants are sent with those words. And as has been said, perhaps we do not hear of it in the day in which we live. And friends, there is that is a searching thought. But what I'm going to say is this. There were times when those who came and heard the word of God spoke of being stripped of everything. And that in that sense was not joyful or pleasant whatsoever. But dear friends, it comes under the truth that it's in the word of God, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And so we shall prove it, dear friends, but there's still that joyful sound, whom the Lord loveth. If now, therefore, ye endure chastening, you are sons, the sons and daughters of the Lord God. Well then, the psalmist is led to speak of these people. And then he speaks of the glorious name of the God who is their God and who sheds the light of his countenance upon his dear people. And in thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favour our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defence, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Now, friends, these are truths. They are glorious truths. The Lord is our defence. What a glorious truth. If God be for us, who can be against us? And yet, I believe here, as the word continues in this 19th verse, there is that wonderful union together of the highest, that is the Holy One of Israel. And there is that which unites the Holy One of Israel with the poorest, meanest, most needy subject in all his realm. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Now, as we consider this, I would speak with reverence, the Holy One of Israel, he needs no help, does he? But surely this help is for his helpless people, those who in themselves have no strength and no wisdom, and those who are brought in their experience to the ends of the earth. Then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidst, thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidst, the word has gone forth. The provision is already there. It is made. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Oh, dear friends, it speaks of none other here than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Father's only begotten Son. It speaks of him. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. And oh, dear friends, what help is there? And what help these poor, wretched sinners are in need of. I put it in this way. When Adam and Eve fell and disobeyed God's command in the Garden of Eden, and their eyes were opened as they ate of that fruit, the forbidden fruit of the tree, and they heard then the voice of the Lord God in the garden. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Yes, dear friends, sin immediately separated them from God, immediately brought fear, where before there had been nothing but a union which we can really hardly imagine or understand. But now they hid themselves. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. So immediately they had need. They were naked. And they felt it. And friends, they needed help. I've never thought of it in this viewpoint before. But in their nakedness, they needed help. They tried. They made for themselves aprons of fig leaves. Sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. But what a flimsy, feeble and insufficient answer it was. And friends, so it still is. And the expression, our fig leaf righteousness. Friends, it will never do. When we come down to die, our own righteousnesses are but as filthy rags. And it comes to my mind here, a good number of years ago now, 40 years I believe it was, and in the special services, Thanksgiving perhaps it would be, that were held in this month perhaps it would have been, Mr. Ramsbottom used to preach, and on that occasion I shall never forget, that time my grandmother had passed away a few months before, and the text, some here may remember it, and we all do fade as a leaf. Yes, and so friends, that is a description of us by nature. We all do fade as a leaf. There is no substance, no soundness in our flesh. So what helpless souls we are. And it was so with Adam and Eve. And that was the best they could do. And sewed the fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. But friends, I've laid help upon one that is mighty. Oh, the loving kindness of the Lord, even then, at such a time of that first transgression, and they could no longer remain in the garden anymore, but in his compassion, we read, unto Adam also and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Now, dear friends, that sets before us so much blessed truth regarding the salvation of guilty, hell-deserving sinners. And the mighty one in the text, the Lord Jesus Christ, He came to this earth to suffer, to bleed and to die. And in his dying, in his atonement and sacrifice of himself, the perfect sacrifice, not lacking in any respect, fulfilling all the demands of God's holy law. And in his own body he bare away the sins of his dear people. Oh, he wrought out a righteousness for his dear people, a glorious garment that when it is imputed to his dear people. I do like the line of the hymn writer in one place, and I can't get it exactly at the moment, but when this garment of righteousness is put on a poor sinner, 'tis always on. And in that sense it is true. Once in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. I have laid help upon one that is mighty to save. Mighty to save. And I mentioned that word this morning at home. Who is this? Oh, friends, we might well consider it. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, travelling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Oh, dear friends, what a wonder beyond our understanding. For in fulfilling that which was laid upon him, the Lord Jesus, when in fulfilling that his Holy Father laid upon him, he came into such a low place. Though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He came down to that place where in the Garden of Gethsemane his prayer was, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done. And again, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Now, friends, as we look on that with our natural eyes, we might think, well, who is this mighty one? But dear friends, it was his mighty love. It was his mighty love that was there. Though in his body and in his soul, he was so pressed down to the ground. But the mighty love was made manifest there. And dear friends, so this love is still that mighty love. How the hymn writer speaks of it, when Jesus with his mighty love visits my troubled breast. And it goes on, but I never can remember these lines very far. But it says, the hymn writer said, I'm completely blessed. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. That which John the Apostle records, Jesus, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Oh, dear friends, whose love, it can never be removed. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I have laid help upon one that is mighty. So here is the one who is set before us. Here is surely the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is set here upon the gospel pole. And oh friends, I have exalted one chosen out of the people. But first, you see, he was lifted up, crucified. A crucified one. Is this the mighty one? Oh friends, death could not hold him. Sin had no hold upon him, though he bore all the wrath that to sinners was due. And you have just been singing that a curse. Cursed is every one that hangeth upon the tree, a tree. Endless blessings on the Lamb. Broken hearts repeat the same. His dear heart was broken too when he bore the curse for you. Ah, dear friends, you see then, what he had to bear. But the grave could not hold him. He will not suffer his Holy One to see corruption. He must rise. He must rise. And he rose triumphant. And there is that glorious word that Peter the Apostle speaks in one of his sermons recorded in the Acts of the Apostles. And him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Him hath God exalted. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. So though sinners raised him upon the cross, and there he was a spectacle to men and devils. But it was about the conclusion of what he came to do. So that in dying he cried out, "It is finished." Mighty, he had accomplished. Though to human view, it was a terrible, sad end. Oh, friends, how the disciples on the Emmaus Road spoke. We trusted that it had been he which had saved, delivered Israel. Ah, but there was no real weakness there. No. There was the accomplishing of what the Saviour came to fulfil. Lo, I come, he says, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. And dear friends, that same dear Saviour he spoke to his disciples before he ascended up into heaven, and he cried unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. But again, my mind seems to be going to these contrasts this afternoon. I hope that the Lord won't leave me to put any in confusion. But you see, dear friends, how different it is when we view things with our own finite and fallen understanding. But there is this which we read concerning when the Lord Jesus was tempted. And this has come into my thoughts. And the devil took him up into that high mountain, showing him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Oh, friends. Now, in one sense, that was true, but it was only under the divine permission of God. And 'tis only under his permission that the Satan has the power that he has. He is a chained foe. But dear friends, what did the Saviour say to him then? He did not say, Satan, my power is greater than yours. No. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Friends, isn't there a mighty one there? Oh, isn't there a mighty one there? Who but the Son of God could say, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Friends, he was mighty in withstanding the most grievous temptations. He had been 40 days and nights, and he had eaten nothing. Oh, dear friends, but mighty in the spirit of the Lord, which dwelt without measure upon him. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. He who commands, and the Spirit of the Lord goes forth, and in union, the sacred union, to arrest a soul and to quicken them into life. I've laid help upon one that is mighty. Oh, friends, who can quicken a soul into life but the Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And there is that divine command. Ah, friends, what a power is there. A power that none can resist. Arrest that man. Arrest him. Oh, and sometimes in such strange and mysterious ways. But it is that which the Lord, by and through his almighty power, accomplishes. To quicken souls and make them cry, give me Christ, or else I die. What power, friends, can do that? Oh, nothing but the mighty love and the Holy Spirit's sweet and blessed influence, and the love of God the Father, with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Well, dear friends, What a gospel then there is for us to preach. We have no might or power in ourselves, poor, weak sinners as we are. I'm sure your dear pastor at times feels just like that. But dear friends, we have a mighty Saviour. We have one upon whom help is laid. And the inference, the meaning of the word is that this is help that is placed and laid, is the word, upon him, that it might be sought for, that it might be used. I would say that with the greatest of reverence. Oh, do you feel, poor sinner, to need help? God knows what it is and how it is and why it is. You feel to need help. Well, how did one come in God's word? She came in humility. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Lord, help me." Oh, you, nothing more. Perhaps you feel like dear Mephibosheth confessed. Why shouldest thou look upon such a dead dog as I am? Friends, how low that is. And what help? A dead dog. But he was favoured. He was raised up to the king's table, though he was lame on both his feet. And there he was given provision to the end of his days. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. And oh, dear friends, the bread of life. For the famishing, for the hungry. The Lord Jesus is the very bread of life. And he is glorious provision for needy sinners. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh, dear friends, what a store, what a rich provision. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. And the Apostle Paul takes it up in those well-known words, but friends, they are very wonderful words. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Well, just a few thoughts in closing. I think I said, and I've best just been reminded, friends, this is a word for those who feel their helplessness, their need of help. And friends, the Lord will bring us. He does. He will bring you, and he will bring me, and he does, to such a place where we are utterly helpless. Who art thou, O great mountain? Oh, the Lord knows what it is. Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, crying, grace, grace unto it. So we'll be, you and I, if we are one of these people that know the joyful sound, we shall have to know more than once, again and again, how helpless we are. And that is not pleasant to our flesh. But, dear friends, what a mercy if we are brought into that place And we can say with the one in the Word of God, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen.